Good morning, everyone. It's always an honor and a privilege to bring you God's Word. Today is January 8th, 2023. We'll be bringing our New Year's sermon. And last year, if you remember, we made a number of predictions. The title of the sermon was Predictions for 2022. And the reason why that was done was because we are in one of the most turbulent times in human history, and especially in modern times. In the modern world, especially in the West, we've had things pretty consistent and comfortable for the last 50 to 60 years, but that has all changed. And the church, which has always addressed pertinent issues of the day using the Word of God and the logic and the reason that He's blessed us with, being able to observe things, to observe the patterns in things, because God surely doesn't change. And the sinful nature of men doesn't change. So we're able to make a commentary on society and the direction it's going in, as well as the church. So this is what we did last year. I want to review that today to show you that we have some credibility when it comes to speaking about these things. And most importantly, because these warnings that are given, these type of messages that are given, are out of love. It is not to terrify anyone. And I want to clarify that first. I am someone who is what you would call post-millennial. Now, to me, being post-millennial and an historicist is just looking at biblical history, the way God has moved history. We went from 12 apostles minus Judas because he was wicked, and this tiny scared group of mostly Hebrew men who came to Christ, and that's why we're studying the book of Hebrews now, and titled the sermon series, The Faithful Outcasts. They lost everything to follow the Lord. They suffered greatly. So from this tiny group of scared believers came this tremendous growth. And the Torah, the laws that we learn in the Old Testament, all nations would eventually embrace, because it's God's word. And it was a wonderful document. What everyone was searching for in God's word was the complete system of the law, the moral law, that we should all follow. And it's been a blessing. And an even greater blessing than just guidance on how we should live is, of course, the gospel and the Messiah himself. So this little movement from 12 men minus one to billions of believers, and the message of the Christian gospel, for a time anyway, ending human sacrifice, ending abortion, ending slavery, the acceptance of slavery in many lands. The Christian West, although it embraced slavery for a time, was also the only culture in the history of the world to ban it, to make it a practice that should be banned. So we can be very happy with the accomplishments that God has done, what he's done through his people, by his power, by his spirit, by his righteousness, not ours. So I'm always hopeful. And I want you to know that when I say these things, when I talk about calamities that are coming, I am not a morbid dispensationalist. I'm not premillennial. I'm not amillennial. I believe what the Bible teaches, that God will place all enemies under his feet. And then the last step will be death itself when judgment comes and our God returns to be with us and his son helps take us home. So all his enemies are being defeated. Death will be the last one on Judgment Day. There'll be no more death, and we'll have our new creation, our new heaven, and our new earth. So I'm not despondent. So I can look at a horrible situation like we're in now, where there's basically a scheme to bring down the world's population, and there's warfare being waged against us. We're under siege, and I'm completely hopeful. And I plan for the future, for myself, my wife, my children, with faith in God. I plan for the future in the way, you know, I've been reaching out to many of you. I want companionship. I want fellowship. More valuable than silver and gold is for Christian brothers and sisters to have someone to talk to and to build a new society with. As this society that we have now, especially in the West, built on the unholy trinity of abortion, euthanasia, and the LGBTQ lifestyle, this does not produce a population. And then on top of that, with the type of medications and things that are being rolled out, that's culling the population, we need to be there to raise this thing up again. So we're going to review what we said last year, and right, we put some messages out there that weren't popular. We'll see if any of it came to fruition. And then we'll speak about a couple of historical instances, and I'll give you a book that came out to read by a very knowledgeable forecaster in finances, a billionaire who used to work for Goldman Sachs, just a numbers guy. And we'll talk about what's going on in our nation and in the larger Christian world right now. So we're going to review what we said. Nothing I say should be taken as condemnation. I am not a Kirk Cameron fan of the Left Behind series. You know, we're all going to be taken out of the world, and then, Jewish people and unbelievers will be left by themselves to take on the Antichrist and all that Hollywood stuff. I believe in a bright future because God promises us that. Even during a time of occupation, those of us who are faithful have a bright future. And we read that verse in Jeremiah when the people were taken away to Babylon. We can't fight against God's judgment. But what we do is the simple things. Have fellowship. Have our sons marry, our daughters marry. Extend our family through Christian fellowship. I have a great extended Christian family. Many of you have reached out to me in this ministry. And it's the thrill of my life, of my ministry, is to connect with other serious Christians that love their family, love their brothers and sisters in Christ, and want to make a plan, not just complain, not sit and sulk and just complain, but identify the problem and then move forward. And that's all we've been trying to do in the history of this ministry, is to move forward and to understand how important we are. We don't need to be world famous or wealthy or a YouTube personality or a Hollywood personality or a sports star. Those people are insignificant, most of them, in God's plan. Many of them are under judgment. It is the salt of the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. It's those that go about day by day living the Christian life. We will be left behind to build something new. And that's what God wants us to do, to occupy till he comes. So the faith will march on. And we've had times just like today where the church has been perverted and has had major problems. And we've dealt with problems in society like we've had today. The thing is, in our lifetime, we haven't dealt with it. And that's why I try and make you familiar with that. So let's go through some of these predictions, and then we'll go back in history to things like the Black Death, the Black Plague in Europe, which killed over a third of the population. So no matter how bad things look, we always rebound again, not because of our strength, because of his will. So we have to remember that. So even as bad as things look today on the news, the religious scene, the political scene, the economic scene, we don't become despondent. We do not become apathetic. We stay focused on what God wants us to do. We enjoy our simple everyday lives, and we reach out to one another and help one another. So let's pray, and then we'll review our 2022 predictions for today. And then next week, I'll go into some predictions for 2023. And again, some will be guaranteed, like God being fully in control, knowing exactly what he's doing, even when we doubt it, and some other things we'll speak about. So let's pray, and then we'll get into today's sermon. Almighty God, the great and living God, we thank you, Lord, that you are with us. We thank you that you sent your Son to save us. We thank you, Lord, that you do not change, that you are consistent, that you are not the God of open theism, that makes it up as he goes along or doesn't understand things. But we know, Lord, that you know the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning, that your wisdom, your majesty, your might is outside of space and time, that you have a construct that we cannot comprehend, Lord, with our finite mortal minds. But we thank you, Lord, that you reach us in a way that we can understand, especially through your word, a simple book that you gave us because you love us, that we can read like your children and follow. We thank you, Lord, that you reach down from heaven to us. And we also thank you that you sent your Son to die in our place, that regardless of what happens in this time that we live in, we always have that hope in your Son. And we ask, Lord, that you guide us today. I pray that you would guard my tongue, that I would only be a true encouragement and only bring a direction from your word. And I always ask this, Lord, in the name of your Son, our only King, Jesus Christ. Amen. So last year we said a lot, and we said some things, and I wanted to see how a year later things have worked out with you, and we'll review it, and I'll give you some resources to back up what I said last year. But first of all, as we said last year, and this will be in the outline, but if you haven't heard it or listened to it, go to Predictions for 2022 on Sermon Audio. If you type it in, it'll come up. Well, we said last year, number one in our outline, the year 2021 was one of the most turbulent years in world history. Despite the calamity and confusion that descended upon a wicked generation, Jesus Christ still reigns. God is not amused with the open Satanism in the world, and he is allowing it to be smashed. So the first point, God's in control. He's not out of control. The visible church might be out of control. People might be out of control. But God is not out of control. He's fully in control. He is not amused with this culture that we have built, which has happened before, that we have built on lust and on the appetites of the flesh. God is not amused with, drug injection centers. He's not amused with the accepting of pedophilia. He's not amused with the polyamory and the return of something that's worse than polygamy, sharing each other without marriage. God is not amused. So if you want to play that game with the Lord and you want to openly defy him and do what Isaiah said, where Isaiah, in speaking for the Lord, said, this people, they're beyond the point of no return because they replace that which is good with evil and that which is evil with good. So all of us as sinners, myself included, we all do things we shouldn't. We repent, and we would never pass off our sins as something righteous. But that's exactly what the world is doing, and the church is on board. The Archbishop of Canterbury, who's supposed to be the highest ranking member of the Anglican Church, just said he supports transgender counseling for children as young as 5 years old. So what does that mean? That means he's basically a Satanist. He should be removed. Most of this church leadership that you see, whether it's in the Catholic denomination, Anglican, Reformed, Baptist, Fundamentalist, whatever it is, that is sold out, they will be removed. Either God will kill them through some of the means we see that's happening today, or as he brings the whole system down, they'll just collapse. And some of them, because of the way they betrayed the people, just like people would hang leaders in government when a revolution started or when things broke down because they hurt the people for their own benefit, the same thing will happen with these church leaders. And that's why I've been saying, I am not a position of weakness when I argue from the word of God. So I don't care if the Pope has a billion people that listen to him and I have four people that listen to me. I'm warning the Pope, the bishops, I'm warning the Archbishop of Canterbury. I'm warning the leadership in the Methodist Church that's compromising Lutheran Church, all you fake female ministers, all you sexual perverts that claim your ministers, and I know who you are. You're really witches or warlocks that have infiltrated the church. So you're going to be killed. You will be destroyed. So I'm telling you that you should repent now, leave the pulpit, leave your position, because God is getting ready to judge this thing. And we spoke about this last year, and it's happening. Everything is collapsing. COVID and the vaccines and wars and all these things come from the Lord. He allows wickedness in high places to do these things to discipline an out-of-control people. And what's been in my mind for this new year, and that'll probably be the title of the sermon next week, I was thinking in my mind, this is a Nebuchadnezzar new year. Why is it a Nebuchadnezzar new year? Because Nebuchadnezzar was allowed by God to conquer the world, to judge those who are out of control. And even the world leaders that think their power is from themselves, the world is given to them by God at times to discipline a people, to make people repent, to bring them back under control. God would never destroy the world like he did with the flood, but he will use empires and wicked men. He'll use their machinations against them, and they will control us for a time. But again, it's to bring us under heel, bring us to heel, bring us under control. So God uses even the wicked, so they're not outside of his design. Now, this is why I always have hope. It's from Scripture. And this is why I always tell my wife and my children to have hope and to plan for the future. This is why. Psalm 110, a psalm of David, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power and the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through the kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fit the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king. And whether anyone likes it or not, he's fully in control. So that we spoke about last year, and that is true this year, and it will be true in the future. So forget about doubting and thinking God isn't in control. And then the second thing we spoke about, the living God is still intimately involved with his creation. God will continue to smash the idols of government, entertainment, healthcare, welfare, technology, and food production. All these things, as we spoke about in the beginning of last year, and as we spoke about in 2021, you know, this last year in 2022, when I was telling everyone, if you follow this ministry, we've been telling you, buy food, buy water. You don't have to be rich. I never have much money. I stock up at the dollar store. Anyone can buy cans of soup, pasta, rice, things that are easy to eat, make, boil. And we talked about the inflation that was coming. Nothing has been fixed. Things are collapsing. So much of us who have wicked family that is so arrogant, they don't believe in God because they'll live till maybe 80 or even above because of modern healthcare. So they say, look, no matter what I do, I survive. No matter how wicked I act, the healthcare system keeps me alive. I mean, I don't need God. It's not God that keeps me alive. It's medicine, it's technology, it's the hospital. Well, now the hospitals are helping to kill you. So what do you think about that? And we're going to speak about how even doctors that try and help you by not having you take these the COVID vaccines or the boosters are going to jail or losing their medical license. So all these idols we had, healthcare, entertainment, you know, when the lockdowns came, entertainers could care less. We would see pictures of them. They didn't have masks on. They were having parties, birthday parties. They were able to go to the funerals of their families when we weren't because COVID might kill us at a funeral. So all this was done. Everything we suffered in 2022, this came to pass because of the nature of man. And as we stated, even Christians have started to believe they and their children can love the filth of the world without repercussions. Now, I've heard a lot of people make comments and say, well, there are no carnal Christians. Well, that's exactly the term that Paul used in Corinthians. And he said that you're like little babies. that aren't properly trained. You're Christians, but barely. You're new Christians. You're like little babies that still poop in their diapers and can't eat solid food and throw tantrums. I can't give you any advanced doctrine yet. This was his first letter to the Corinthians. And God needs us as Christians to recover the maturity that we had. As I've said before, the Christian was the serious, logical, thinking person because our faith, we are people of the book. It's based on logic and reason and faith. We don't become Christians and drain our brains of 60 IQ points and become morons where we can't analyze anything or we're afraid to look at things. That is brain dead fundamentalism, not old school fundamentalism, but the new stuff where you can't look at anything, you can't examine anything. As Christians, we don't burn books. We're not afraid of books. We read them and we critique them. Much of our modern culture was because of the Christian spirit. We're open to debate. We're confident in our faith and our religion. All we ask as Christians is that you keep God's moral law. And even most pagans agree with the thou shalt not murder and thou shalt not commit adultery and thou shalt not steal part. They don't like the part with the banning of sexual perversions and playing money games and things like that. But we just ask for you to follow the basic laws that God has laid out. And then we're not looking to put people under mind control or forced baptisms. We want a reason. We want to argue. We want to work through our faith and have lively debates. Nothing wrong with that. If you can't do that as a Christian, you'll always be in a state of weakness and immaturity. And that's why we are to be the ones who study the most. And we have something to say because God has something to say about all aspects of life. But all these idols that were built up, the way Christians have gotten wrapped up into the culture, where church now is like a music concert, and the pastor, man, woman, eventually you'll have animal pastors, trust me, dogs, cats, whatever is by the pulpit. I don't even think they have pulpits anymore in some churches, but whoever's in front of the church, the supposed minister, is like a celebrity person now. And that's the way they behave. So it's become a Hollywood production. So we've brought that and all that filth and the love of money and all those things into the church. We had a reformation against this at one time. But this is what we're suffering through. So man's nature doesn't change. And God needs to rein us in. And as we spoke about before, if you ever want to see the description of a culture that is collapsing, just read Romans chapter 1. And we spoke about this last year, verses 16 through 27. This is to be our attitude today as Christians. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The reason why Aristotle was called a noble pagan by the church, a pagan saint, is because he embodied this, where even pagans would not deny, many of them, the existence of God. They didn't have special revelation. They didn't have the complete message, and they had sinful systems of worship. But even they didn't have the audacity to say there is no God like people do today. So the best and the brightest, even amongst men, know better. They know that there is a God, a creator. But here today, we have people who think they're rocket scientists because they watch TikTok videos on God, 20 seconds long, and now they're an expert, and they say there is no God. So this is what we're dealing with, complete stupidity. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's why a man can, on Monday could be a man, wake up on Tuesday, declare himself a woman, and say that he can get pregnant. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So evolution and all that good stuff, that's an ancient religion. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And in 2022, and now 2023, if you look at buildings, if you look at our embassies around the world, the United States of America has a flag to defend and uphold these values that God condemns in Romans 1, the LGBTQ flag. Lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgenders, and queer people, and soon plus P, pedophiles. All of these things that every culture recognized as a perversion is now celebrated. And they have a flag and a battle flag that you must salute if you want to do business in what's called the West, the Western world. And especially America. So God's word come alive. So we can definitely make some predictions about the direction things are going in. And because God is wise and he's given us the gift of his word, we can have wisdom and share it with people. So that's what we're doing. And it's applicable today. The Bible is far from outdated. It's future dated. It's forever dated. Its wisdom never ends. So this is how we can make a comment on society, on the direction things are going in, and be right and be correct. So we spoke about this, and God is continuing to do it. And then the message for us, the true church is not dead and will prosper during these difficult times. Our God will continue to support his remnant, and we will thrive spiritually. And Hebrews 5 was the text that we went through. And that's why we're doing a whole sermon series on the book of Hebrews called The Faithful Outcast. Because just like first century Jews who embraced Christ and became messianic, they were disowned. And just like many of us, if you go against that LGBTQ, that rainbow battle flag, if you don't support lesbianism and transgenderism and soon pedophilia, and we have the drag queens, drag queen men dressed as women, half naked, dancing for children in libraries and in schools, if you don't support that, you are an outcast. And that's exactly the direction it's going in. But God will maintain us. He's going to blow this place up. And the meek, you and I, and people like us will inherit the earth. And we'll have to rebuild again. It's going to be like back in the 13th century with the Black Plague. But we'll have to do it. And we'll do it with love. And we won't tell people, I told you so, right? And be judgmental. We'll use wisdom. And those who want forgiveness, we'll allow them to repent. And we'll lead them to the Lord. And we'll rebuild. This happens from time to time in God's plan. And then we spoke about point four, and this was one of our predictions in the secular world, what was going on in the world. The COVID pandemic will be revealed as a treacherous act unleashed upon the world by the elites they worship. Trust the science and observe how triple vaccinated people are still getting and spreading the virus. The same people who butcher the unborn, sexually mutilate young children, and teach them Satanism, you trust with your health. And this was the point that was being made. And I'm going to point you to a book also. And why I said, stop with the boosters, stop with the vaccines. I'm not giving medical advice. I'm repeating the medical advice that's out there. Okay. So Dr. Robert Malone, who invented the technology for the COVID vaccine, is begging people not to give it to their children. This was last year. Now, another book came out, and I'll give it to you in the PDF. I'll give you the link. Let's speak about that now. So they want the population lowered. Now, there's a gentleman. His book is for sale on Amazon. And his name is Edward Dowd. And the book is called Cause Unknown: The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 2022. Now, we spoke about this before 2022 started. He came out with the book now. He went through the math from the past year. And we spoke about how this is going to be a major issue. And I did a sermon about forgiving people, pastors, if they made mistakes concerning COVID and the vaccines. And I put it on sermon audio. And I said, I don't want this to break us apart. And pastors need to speak about this. They need to speak against unproven vaccines and boosters. I am not an anti-vaxxer. I'm pro-vaccine, pro-science. These were not tested. They don't work and they hurt many people. Now, do not be discouraged. Do not be upset if you did take the vaccine. It is not sudden death. For most people, you take the vaccine, you die on the spot. That's a lie. That's a complete lie. I'm not a conspiracy person. But you can't continue to take these boosters. They are toxic. They don't work anyway. So if you didn't believe me, what I said last year, here is a gentleman who was a banker for Goldman Sachs. He wrote the book with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's not just a person in politics, but very brave man, very brave politician, who spoke against the lies, the National Institute for Health, and he spoke about Dr. Fauci. For those of you that don't follow the news, Elon Musk, a very wealthy man, he bought Twitter, which is more popular than even Facebook now for people to communicate. And Elon Musk said, my preferred pronouns are arrest Fauci. So even the elites are starting to go after one another. So here's someone, not me, Elon Musk, who at one time was the wealthiest man in the world, saying Dr. Fauci should be arrested. Now, whether you agree with that or not, the point is this is all breaking now. And that's why I wanted you. I love you. You're part of my ministry and who I reach out to. I wanted you to be ahead of the game. I didn't want anyone to get hurt by this. And that's why I said this last year. But here's the book that I want you to get if you want to learn more about it. And I'm going to give you the link. It's a bestseller on Amazon. So this is what was conspiracy theory last year is now common knowledge and a best-selling book. So what is he saying? This gentleman, Ed Dowd, I like the secular guys. I like the money junkies. He was an investor with Goldman Sachs. He became a billionaire because they're the way Christians should be with the way we see life, with the way God wants things. It's not our opinion. It's not our feelings. It's the way God wants it, and that's it. These men with money are the same way. They look at a country. If the country's going to collapse, they'll make money on it. They're not going to lie to their investors and say, well, because they feel bad for, say, Ukraine. Oh, the Ukraine's going to do very well. If they see a war coming, if they see starvation coming, they'll tell their investors, get out of Ukraine, put your money somewhere else, put your investment somewhere else. So I like these guys because they're cold, hard fact guys, right? Whether you like it or not, this is what's going on. So he's someone who's very good with numbers. And this is what he said. So it's cause unknown, the epidemic of sudden deaths in 2021 and 2022. And in parentheses, children's health defense. So they were trying to get people to stop giving these vaccines to their kids as well as the boosters. So this is a summary. You can look at it yourself on Amazon. I'm reading off Amazon's website. This is not conspiracy theory. What is killing healthy young Americans? 2020 saw a spike in deaths in America, smaller than you might imagine during a pandemic, some of which could be attributed to COVID and to initial treatment strategies that were not effective. But then in 2021, the stats people expected went off the rails. The CEO of the One America Insurance Company publicly disclosed that during the third and fourth quarters of 2021, death in people of working age, 18 to 64, was 40% higher than it was before the pandemic. Significantly, the majority of the deaths were not attributed to COVID. A 40% increase in deaths is literally earth-shaking. Even a 10% increase in excess deaths would have been a 1 in 200-year event, but this was 40%. And therein lies a story that starts with obvious questions. What has caused this historic spike in deaths among younger people? What has caused the shift from old people who are expected to die to younger people who are expected to keep living? It isn't COVID, of course, because we know that COVID is not a significant cause of death in young people. Various stakeholders opine about what could be causing this epidemic of unexpected sudden deaths, but Cause Unknown, their book, doesn't opine or speculate. The facts just are, and the math just is. The book begins with a close look at the actual human reality behind the statistics. And when you see the people are represented by the dry term excess mortality, it's difficult to accept so many unexpected sudden deaths of young athletes known to be the healthiest among us. Similarly, when lots of healthy teenagers and young adults die in their sleep without obvious reason, collapse and die on a family outing, or fall down dead while playing sports, that all by itself raises an immediate public health concern, or at least it used to. Ask yourself if you recall these kinds of things occurring during your own life, in junior high, in high school, in college. How many times in your life did you hear of a performer dropping dead on stage in mid-performance? And your own life experience and intuition will tell you that what you're about to see is not normal, or at least it wasn't normal before 2021. So what they're saying, using real science and real reason, before the vaccines appeared and the booster shots, we didn't have this death rate, especially amongst the younger people. Now we have an unbelievable death rate. 10% increase in deaths for people 18 to 64 years old, YOY for my business people year over year is a term that's used. That type of death rate is once in every 200 years. Usually it's World War I or World War II that would spike deaths like that. Now it's 40%, which is that a once in every 1,000 years? And that's why I'm bringing up the Black Death, the Black Plague. We're going to lose a lot of people. Now, like I said, if you're one of those that took the vaccine or took the booster, don't be despondent. Don't panic. There are therapeutics to help you. Just stop taking them. Stop taking the boosters. Stop giving them to the kids. With each booster you take, your body becomes more toxic. So just stop. And it's not. I'm not giving health advice. I am not a doctor. I'm telling you what other doctors and experts have said. You can read this book for yourself, and I'll give you the link. So he's a numbers guy that goes into the numbers. And as we spoke about last year, this would be one of the big issues. It's going to happen. So don't give it to your children. Don't give in when it comes to the mandates. You see that people that were forced to take the vaccine, they've gotten their jobs back. They've lost in the courts. The government has lost in the courts. You can't force people to take an experimental medicine. And that's what it is. It's not a proven vaccine. But they don't care because, as we said, the financial system is collapsing. They need a scapegoat. So they're going to try with the sickness first, okay, with the disease, the pestilence, and then they're going to go to war, as what we're seeing in the Ukraine. But we'll speak more about that next week in our predictions for 2023. So far, so bad. Not so far, so good. So far, so bad. And it bothers me very much that much of what we've spoken about has come to pass. But I'll give you the link to the book. Point number four, the COVID pandemic was always about the financial system and not the virus. An attempt is being made to track and trace everyone for the new economy. $80 billion was given to the IRS, something like 60, 70,000 new agents, like crazy amounts. and then I saw the report come out. Most of the new people audited made $400,000 or less. So they left the rich alone anyway. So you keep, right? Let people keep being sinful and being envious and asking for more IRS agents and more government oversight to get the rich. They always come and get you because you have very little power. So stop being like that. We don't want anyone, rich, poor, in the middle, to be hounded by the IRS. But it's all about money. It's all about getting control of the money system. So the old financial system is dying. We will no longer use physical money, and everything you do will be tracked by the central bank. There's an attempt to control the behavior of the people by their government. Kanye West, who is now Ye, he's a rapper, perverted man, filthy music. But the point is, he said some things that were considered anti-Semitic. And he said that certain business groups are in control of certain mafias, and that they have the potential to cut off his money and do all these things. So he said things that were unpopular, and not just with the Jewish people, with all people. Lo and behold, for his opinion, whether you agree with him or not, I don't agree with him, but the man went from a billionaire to a multimillionaire, and now I don't know what he's worth. So they can shut down your bank accounts. Christians have this being done to them. PayPal was threatening to fine your PayPal account if you had the wrong opinion. So this is the future, like what they have in China. If you have the wrong opinion, if it's not the official government opinion or what they want you to speak about, they will cut off your money. So that's why they want the electric control of the money. Cashless is not scary. Most of us use credit cards or a debit card anyway. That's not what they're talking about. And I'll link an article to it. But it's central banking digital currency. And what that means is the bank can shut off your account at any time. I had a mistake with my finances. I had money stopped, electronic fund transfers. I was in big trouble. I had to call and correct it. Well, they'll do that if you're anti-pedophilia, if you're anti-lesbian, if you're anti-whatever. Whatever's not the modern thing that you're supposed to be for as a Christian, they'll shut down your accounts. So that's the danger. This is not credit card or debit card. This means all your money comes from a central bank, and they're even talking about making it expire at a certain time, where if you don't spend it, it goes away. Now that takes away the power of savings for you. Now, you can't hold cash. You can't hold gold and silver. The only thing that will be worth anything is their digital money from a central bank. Now, there is pushback against this. Plenty of people work for banks, for your local banks. They want all of those closed. When they gave us funds during COVID, when they gave that stipend or that relief money to people, that was an experiment for the central bank, the Federal Reserve of the U.S., to pay everyone in the country. And they were able to do it. And people let them lock us down. And they went for it. We were getting paid to stay home from the central bank. It wasn't Chase. It wasn't your local community bank. It was the Federal Reserve. It was the U.S. Treasury controlling your money. And that's what they want for every government. This is a communist dream. And this is what they're going for. So this is happening. So this is something we spoke about last year. You should be prepared. You should have cash on hand. You should have food, not 30 years worth, just 6 months, 4 to 6 months. As the system changes over or this pushback and we run into trouble, which I believe is coming, you'll have some things in reserves. You'll have some food, you'll have some water. If you can't afford gold, you buy silver. You have some things of value that you could pay your mortgage or buy some food as this whole thing is transitioning. Nothing to panic about. We've been through this before. God will bring us through. I tell you these things so that you're hopeful, not despondent. Remember that. We need to let the Lord bring us through so we can make something better. Always remember that. So the old financial system is dying. Now, I'll give you a link to this for those of you who have no idea what a central bank digital currency is. It'll explain it to you. So central bank digital currencies are digital tokens, similar to cryptocurrency issued by a central bank. They are pegged to the value of that country's fiat currency. So I'll let you look at this yourself. I know economics gets confusing sometimes, but basically it's like what you do now with your credit card, with your debit card. You're not using money. It's all electronic transfers. It's numbers on a screen, but now they're going to control all of that, where cash will be gone. There'll be no option for cash, and everything you do will be traced and tracked. And your money will come from the government, no longer from your job the way it used to, or from your, you won't have money in a local community bank. So that's what they're pushing for. Will they get their way? They failed before. God will shut them down when he decides to. And the last point, and this is something that we've seen has been happening, as we saw with the latest Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, 14 votes, 15 votes, unprecedented. We haven't seen that since the Civil War, to get a Speaker of the House. His own party didn't want him to be Speaker because he's basically a career politician and people want real change. And the Uniparty, they're both one, Democrat, Republican. They're just bringing the country down. They want to bring us into this world order where America is a third world nation. And they didn't want him for House Speaker, but you just keep voting and making deals until, so he got it anyway. But the point I'm making is Civil War, big topic now. We spoke about this last year. We said it would become more popular, and I told you, don't get caught up in this. So Civil War in America will be promoted by the left and right side of politics. Christians, we walk the true path. We follow the way. It's not left nor right. It's straight, based on God's principles. If the Democrats say something good, like when they used to be anti-war when George Bush was president, we agree with them. When the Republicans say something good, when they used to be against same-sex marriage before it was popular, we'll agree with them. We don't agree with a party. We have principles. As Christians, that's what we follow. That's it. So Civil War in America will be promoted by the left and right side of politics. America must be broken up into smaller pieces so the new world order can be successful. All politicians use this term now. This is not conspiracy theory. Our most trusted allies of Europe and Israel actually want to destroy us and establish a central banking dictatorship. God will destroy all those who oppose him. And we had a link to an article last year concerning this. So the point I'm making, and we'll talk about this more next week, we are going to be in a situation like the Christian West was in during the Black Plague. Those days are back. The death rates from people not being taken care of because they destroyed the healthcare system with the COVID scare, from some people getting sick from the vaccines, from a lot of people getting sick from the boosters. They don't stop taking the boosters. We're going to be in a situation that we need to be prepared for. And again, your family members, they're not going to die. And we're not scaring Christians who did get the vaccine. We're saying just stop. Stop with the boosters. There'll be things you could take to heal yourself. There always is. And many of you won't have these side effects. But don't promote something like this. Now, this situation, I like to go to secular sources, another thing that I'll link to. And this is right from worldhistory.org. They talk about the Black Death, the effects of the Black Death. When I talk about the Black Death, the Black Plague, many of us aren't versed in history the way we used to be, so I want to let you understand what I'm speaking about. This situation in now 2023, we haven't experienced an upheaval like this in almost 1,000 years, 700 years, but it's happening. God is moving. And one thing we know about God, he moves real slow in his judgment because he loves us, and then it just collapses. Judgment comes in a day, as the Lord describes in the Bible. Judgment comes like a flood. And all that pent-up sin and judgment just slams you, slams the society. And once again, it's Europe's turn, it seems, because they are openly satanic. They're Satanists. Europe and the United States is promoting a global perverted new world order. They want countries to accept transgenderism and child sex changes and everything, pornography and polyandry, all these things. I mean, that's our battle flag, and we're paying countries to accept this. So what do I mean by the Black Plague? Well, here's what it is, because I don't like to speak to myself. I don't want you to understand what I'm talking about. The outbreak of plague in Europe between 1347 and 1352, we're talking about 700 years ago, known as the Black Death, completely changed the world of medieval Europe. Severe depopulation upset the socio-economic feudal system of the time, but the experience of the plague itself affected every aspect of people's lives. Disease on an epidemic scale was simply part of life in the Middle Ages, but a pandemic of the severity of the Black Death had never been experienced before, and afterwards there was no way for the people to resume life as they had previously known it. Sound familiar? The Black Death altered the fundamental paradigm of European life in the following areas: socioeconomic, medical knowledge and practice, religious belief and practice, persecution and migration, women's rights, art and architecture. So all these major categories of life were completely upended. We're going through the same thing today. And this is a European nation, a quote, white nation experience right now. It's our turn. And we're not all the same. And God made us different. And Europe is in the has been in the driver's seat of world history since the Greeks, since Alexander the Great. And they've taken turns and moving the world. And they've become extremely wicked. And worse than that, they have crosses in their flags and try to say they're God's people as they do this, as they reject God and try and take over the world. And it's not going to happen. So I'll link to this article. Great article. I like using stuff that's not, quote, you know, on our side or Christian, when it's a somewhat true representation, to show you. Regular people know this. Christians don't know this. They don't prepare for this. They don't learn history anymore. They're crazy charismatics now that speak in tongues but won't pick up a book and read, or read a history book. Well, they think Christianity was invented with their church back in the 1960s. So before the plague, the feudal system rigidly divided the population and a caste system of the king at the top, followed by nobles and wealthy merchants, with the peasants at the bottom. Medical knowledge was received without question from doctors who relied on physicians of the past, and the Catholic Church was considered even higher authority on spiritual matters, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so what was the plague? The bacterium Yersinia pestis, carried by fleas on rodents, and the actual cause of the plague was unknown to the people at the time, and so did not factor into this world view. Arrival and spread of the plague. The plague came to Europe from the east, most probably via the trade routes known as the Silk Road overland, and certainly by ship overseas. The Black Death, a combination of bubonic, septicemic, and pneumonic plague, and also possibly a strain of murrain, had been gaining momentum in the east since at least 1322. So the Black Plague came from the East, Asia, China. COVID came from the East, Asia, China. Had infected the troops of the Mongol Golden Horde under the command of the Khan Zhanabek, who was besieging the Italian-held city, what a shame, of Kaffa, modern-day Feodosia in Crimea, on the Black Sea. As Zhanabek's troops died of the plague, he had their corpses catapulted over the city walls, infecting the people of Kaffa through their contact with the decomposing corpses. See, biowarfare is nothing new. Eventually, a number of the city's inhabitants fled the city by ship, first arriving at Sicilian ports and then at Marseille, and others from whence the plague spread inland. Those infected usually died within 3 days of showing symptoms, and the death toll rose so quickly that the people of Europe had no time to grasp what was happening, why, or what they should do about the situation. Sound familiar? Scholar Norman F. Cantor, nice, good Jewish name, Cantor, the singer, comments, "The plague was much more severe in the cities than in the countryside, but its psychological impact penetrated all areas of society." Get your mask on! Were you vaccinated? Right? "No one, peasant or aristocrat, was safe from the disease, and once it was contracted, a horrible and painful death was almost a certainty. The dead and dying lay in the streets, abandoned by frightened friends and relatives. As the plague raged on, and all efforts to stop its spread or cure those infected failed, people began to lose faith in the institutions they had relied on previously, while the social system of feudalism began to crumble due to the widespread death of the serfs. Those who were most susceptible, as their living conditions placed them in closer contact with each other on a daily basis than those of the upper classes. The plague ran rampant among the lower class, who sought shelter and assistance from friars, churches, and monasteries, spreading the plague to the clergy, and from the clergy it spread to the nobility. By the time the disease had run its course in 1352, millions were dead, and the social structure of Europe was as unrecognizable as much of the landscape, since, as Cantor notes, many flourishing cities became virtual ghost towns for a time, and crops lay rotting in the fields with no one to harvest them." And this is why I tell you, Christians lived through this time and died helping people. And then we in the church and some pastors run from a virus with a less than 1% death rate and virtually no death rate in younger people. And we latch on to vaccines and boosters that are unproven. Well, right? How scared and how covetous are you of your physical life that paralyzes you in your faith? And this is what must not happen to us as people die around us because of the side effects of these horrible medicines that they've come up with for a disease that kills less than 1% of the people that catch it. "Before the plague, the king was thought to own all the land, which he allocated to his nobles. The nobles had serfs work the land, which turned a profit for the lord, who paid a percentage to the king. The serfs themselves earned nothing for their labor except lodging and food they grew themselves. Since all land was the king's, he felt free to gift it as gifts to friends, relatives, and other nobility who had been of service to him. And so every available piece of land by 1347 was being cultivated by serfs under one of these lords." We're actually getting back to the system now. "Europe was severely overpopulated at this time, and so there was no shortage of serfs to do work the land, and these peasants had no choice but to continue this labor, which was in essence a kind of slavery, from the time they could walk until their death. There was no upward mobility in the feudal system, and a serf was tied to the land he and his family worked from generation to generation. As the plague wore on, however, depopulation greatly reduced the workforce, and the serfs' labor suddenly became an important and increasingly rare asset." Okay, so the doctors and other caregivers were seen dying at an alarming rate as they tried to cure plague victims using their traditional understanding, and further, nothing they prescribed did anything for their patients. It became clear by as early as 1349 that people recovered from the plague or died from it for seemingly no reason at all. A cure that restored one patient to health would fail to work on the next. Okay. So the death toll. You're talking about a death rate almost 2 out of 5 people. In some areas, it was even higher. So this is what collapsed Europe for a time. And it totally dominated the culture. So we are going to have high deaths going into the future in our lands, and we need to be prepared for it as Christians. And again, we'll speak about that more in the future. So it's the most fatal pandemic in human history, and we're going to have more trouble along those lines. Again, like I said, we'll talk about that next week. So I believe what we spoke about last year unfortunately transpired. I want you to be encouraged this year. There are new threats to scare everyone to death, to bring you into their system. As Christians, we're not going to fall for it. We're going to stay faithful, and we're going to stay optimistic. Not that it's hopium, some type of false hope. It's real. We are going to have to take over this skeleton of a society that's going to be left behind, and we're going to have to flesh it out. So get ready. If you're 10 years old, if you're 50 years old, if you're 80 years old and thought you had a boring life and you weren't that important to God, you couldn't have been more wrong. You are deeply needed. People are going to need fellowship from people of all ages. And I praise God that I've had so many older Christians that have reached out to me because I've respectfully asked for it. I don't like repeating mistakes that other people have made. So if you don't want to do that, eat some humble pie, listen to what the Bible instructs us to do, and listen to the stories and the advice of those who are older than you. So you're all very important. I want you encouraged for the coming year. And again, these predictions that were made for last year that have mostly come to pass, books have been written on it. It's not to make you depressed. It's to encourage you. Study. Make sure you're praying. Study the word. Be faithful and get ready to do work, real work, like Christians had to do over 700 years ago during the time of the Black Plague, the Black Death. People are sick. They're not getting proper medical care. And something really wicked is going on with the health of people. And because of the lifestyle they've embraced and because of God's judgment, they are broken, most importantly, spiritually. They have no compass. They have no relationship with the Creator. And then they're broken mentally and physically. And they're going to need help. So get ready. Get prepared to act like a Christian and to be busy reaching out and giving people the hope of the gospel in 2023. Now, there's a pattern, we'll talk about it next week, in the book of Revelation, those of you who read your Bible, which are all of you, I know. There are the four horsemen, famously the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They've infiltrated all of culture. It's part of our story in the West, and now it's spread to the world. But these horses, famine, and death, and we'll get into it next week, but this is the, and war, this is the process in a siege. We're under siege. So they're going to attack us with all these things. So we've seen the disease. Now we're going to see the next horse, which is the famine. They're working on that. Ukraine is a hub of food. So although in America, we'll just pay exorbitant prices and have to help one another by food, in the third world, they starve. They die. So we have the pestilence, which was the COVID, and we have the famine, which they're developing. They're even persecuting the Amish, telling them they can't farm the way they have, because the Amish are self-sufficient. And now we're getting the war. And that's what Ukraine is about, scaring us and putting us under siege from war. So again, next week, we'll get into our 2023 predictions. And then after that, we'll go back to our sermon series in the book of Hebrews. So I hope I've been able to reach everyone. If you didn't listen to the sermon that I presented last year, please go listen to it on Sermon Audio. Again, don't panic. Be hopeful. God is with us. He's in control. We can't lose our faith, because the things we're going to continue to see and all these things we spoke about are coming to pass because God wants them to. And he was patient for a long time, and now he's dropping judgment. And you and I need to learn the skills that are given to us from the word. How do we survive as God's people during this tremendous upheaval? So let's keep reaching out to one another, encouraging one another. And like I said, whatever age you are, get ready to do some work. You're more important than you thought you were. So now all the training, all the Bible studies, all the theological treatises and studies that you've been involved in or that you read, this is where they're put into practice. The fight is now. So God bless all of you. Let's pray. Almighty God, the great and living God, the one who loves us and takes care of us, we thank you, Lord, you've been the cleft in the rock for so many of us. And we thank you, Lord, for sending your Son. We pray, Lord, that you would give us all wisdom and insight from your word, that we would have real fellowship with other Christians, serious relationships with other Christians in the coming year. And we always ask this, Lord, in the name of our only King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Be well, and can't wait to speak to you again, Lord willing, next week. God bless.